even through all the good times and in the bad that we've been now for nearly 10 years, is just to take some time out and sit down with each other, and if you need to, hold each other's hand and have a little weep if you want to, but be there strong for each other. That's what's most important.
Yes, it sure is, Leah. Thanks for calling and telling us that. Chris, you'd agree with that, I guess?
Absolutely, and what Leah's talking about there is staying connected. There are different ways that we can show our partners and pick up that our partners are looking for some level of support, attention, affection. And if we can do that on a daily basis, looking for ways to connect, and that can also include talking with each other at the end of the day, having some kind of conversation or reconnecting at the end of the day, and having those ways of turning to each other and connecting with each other are one of the main things that help add to happy marriages.
Are you allowed to ask for attention? Can you say? Oh.
Absolutely. Now, often people will do that indirectly as well, and it helps to be attuned to with knowing one's partner. Sometimes you get a sense of how they might look for attention, but that's fine also to ask for that directly, and then it makes such a difference if people can respond to that at the time, because then each partner feels the confidence that they can call from that, from their intimate partner.
Okay. Now, we've got, I think Lorraine's come back. Are you there, Lorraine?
Yes, I'm
in Mildura.
Here.
Thank you for coming back.
Lorraine.
Are you having a lovely day in Mildura today?
It's beautiful, I guess. If it can't rain, it might as well be nice.
Well, that's a good point, isn't it? Was it cold last night?
I didn't think it was too bad.
Okay. No. All right, because it's just the forecast. Yesterday we had zero predicted for Mildura overnight.
Yeah, the further inland you get, I guess the colder it gets. And we get some pretty cold nights, yeah.
Mm. Now, anyway, tell us, what was your best bit of advice?
Well, my daughter organised a 35th wedding anniversary for my husband and I, who sadly passed away some years back, but at the time we had this great 35th wedding anniversary, and 30th, beg your pardon, and everyone was there, and I made a short speech and said that when my mother met me at the front door and I was walking out to go to the church for her wedding, she said to me, "Now remember, Lorraine, you'll always have to give more than he will." And Barry turned around and said to me, "That's funny." She said to me too. And we were married 30 years before I ever knew that.
But she gave the same advice to both of you.
And neither of us knew. But I think that is a thing. It's got to be give and take. You've both got to give 110.
Actually, I was just thinking, what's another bit of advice I'd give people? You know, I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking that you have to be more generous than you ever expected. It's not the place to sort of go, "Well, I did the dishes last night." So you find that.
And that trust, well, trust is love, but that trust in one another is absolutely vital. Just to both give 110 and talk about it. Never go to sleep without saying good night. Yeah.
So Janine's advice about never go to bed with an argument still hanging over your head.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, Lorraine, that's lovely advice. Thank you. That is great advice.
Again, that shows that preparedness for tolerance and compromise,
yes,
doesn't it? And that spirit of giving to the relationship, because that makes the relationship stronger, and each partner then gets back more from that.
I know. I sometimes think, you know, you work harder at this than I've sort of worked at anything before. It is hard work, isn't it?
Well, look, absolutely. And one thing I think really helps is if people do have the sense of a relationship being a higher order thing to either of the individuals. So if we compromise or dealing with a frustration, it's not sacrificing to the other person, it's sacrificing to the relationship. The relationship is a higher order thing, and that makes the relationship stronger, and then each partner gets back more from that.
Yes, it is. It is a very important thing, and I think that might be one of the secrets to making it work. Now, it's 21 past three, and you're listening to ABC Radio in Victoria. Cathy, not with you, but Penny is, and I'm speaking with very lovely Chris Mackey. He's a positive psychologist. Now, Chris, you mentioned that you can actually have a number of predictors for a marriage to fail. I'd read somewhere that there's even a mathematical equation that can predict whether or not you're likely to head to divorce.
Well, yes, and I think that equation was developed by research by a fellow, John Gottman, who over many years studied couples. I think his background might have even been in engineering or something like that, so he's very good at looking at the mechanics of things, but certainly for 20 years plus he studied couples and looked to identify what led to difficulties, and a few main things came up. One of the main problems is if people have some kind of harsh start-up to their arguments. You can usually tell in the first few minutes of any conversation how it will go. If it starts off very negatively and flares up quickly, there's very little chance of something constructive coming out of that. So that's one of the signs. If people don't soothe things down a bit but start up fired up, that makes it difficult. Then he talked about four different types of negative interactions that go a long way to predicting the end of a relationship. And this is if people get caught up in criticism or certainly contempt. That's one of the worst. People showing contempt for their partner in different ways. Defensiveness and stonewalling. And the thing is, if people have inevitable conflicts or problems or arguments that happens in any, even the most healthy of marriages, if there's that pattern of criticism, contempt, defensiveness or stonewalling, what will tend to happen is there's not the same chance of repairing the situation. And one partner or the other will tend to get overwhelmed by the negative feeling and they'll withdraw, and then that attempt to repair the situation won't work if there is an attempt to repair it. So they're the things to watch out for. But in contrast, if people, again, are focusing on that friendship, building it up, looking to repair situations, looking to soothe each other's emotions if there's distress, and having shared, if you like, rituals or meanings, then we can get a lot out of even simple things like that conversation at the end of the day, or finding out what's happening each day if a partner's leaving for work or whatever, just finding out one thing that's happening in their day, or if a partner's catching up with friends or doing something with children. And also, each day having ways of communicating that genuine affection and appreciation.
Mm. There's some lovely SMSs here too, and my mother's drunk weak white tea for 30 years because every night my dad makes it after tea, so making time and loving openly has always been instilled in me. So I wonder whether the mother actually did drink white weak white tea, or whether she liked it some other way but just drank it gratefully for 30 years.
Yes, I think partly it's those little kindnesses, isn't it, that people show each other. It's those little kindnesses that people show each other on a daily basis. Amazingly, we now know that in happy marriages, people tend to live longer and have great health benefits. Even there's some indication people tend to live about 4 years longer on average in a happy marriage to being in a situation that's less happy, more troubled that way. So that it makes a difference at many levels of our lives.
Yes. Now there's also Rowan in Swan Hill has said, my advice to men is if she's not happy, you can't be happy. Does that sort of indicate the sort of havoc that wives can wreak on their relationships?
Well, I suppose it's an awareness that in marriage or intimate relationships that each partner is intertwined in something larger than just oneself. And that's one of the greatest satisfactions in a marriage. And so, look, in some ways, it's a bit like other relationships with children too, isn't it? Giving to children and see that they have that they're happy, that feeds back into the family life. But certainly with any relationship that's intimate, our partner's happy, that will reflect back on ourselves.
Mm. And is there a nice way to end it? I guess that if marriages don't work out, we have had a caller that has been married twice, and obviously number one didn't quite work. Is there an amicable way of taking a break?
Well, the way I tend to look at that is certainly if a marriage is riddled with conflict, if it's gone down a track where people see problems as severe, they're getting to the stage of living parallel lives, there's conflict happening, there are indications that can be harmful to children as well. And there's certainly a point at which it seems to, sometimes it seems, you know, wise even for people to separate when all attempts have failed. And I think the main thing in that situation is looking to contain the negativity. I think that sometimes is the best that we can aim for, rather than looking to be so positive about it at the time. It's containing the negativity and having a sense of, I suppose, purpose in that separation, and recognising that that, I suppose, gives a different hope of a more positive future if people have reached that point where there's such a negative impasse. And but I think that under circumstances where people realise that they can do something to contain the fallout, particularly for children, that has a great benefit compared to letting those difficulties spill over.
For sure. Well, Chris, it's been great to talk to you. You are a really positive psychologist. Thank you for that.
Then, Penny.
Great to meet you, and we'll catch you again next week.
Terrific then, Penny. Speak to you then. Right?
Thank you. Bye-bye. Chris Mackey, who's our positive psychologist, and we'll catch him again to talk about another positive psychology question next week. Nice SMS from Sue in Bairnsdale from my husband's grandmother. Always say yes, but then do whatever you want. Maybe it's all about perception then. You are listening to ABC Victoria. I'm Penny.